We have a visitor from Bloomington. Is it Mr. Sire? And your first name again?
Richard.
He's a friend of the Loons, so make sure you tell the Loons hello from us. And we send greetings from Faith Bible Church. It's good to have you with us this morning. My message this morning is meant to challenge you, and I hope it does just that. The year is 606 B.C., and the man is Daniel. And I like to talk about Daniel because Daniel was just a remarkable young man. And in chapter 1 of the book of Daniel, we discover that he was just a young boy, George. He's probably only 14 or 15 years old. And we learn of his great character. And we learn that Daniel lived an uncompromising life. He's just a remarkable young man. You won't find anything in the scripture negative about the man Daniel. One of the few people, I think, that we can say that about. And that's why I like him so much. He's probably going to be the first guy I look up when I get to heaven. Daniel lived an uncompromising life. He really had himself anchored to the Word of God. And that's why I like Daniel. Daniel was just a guy who just wouldn't compromise. He would never compromise the absolutes of God. And where there is a principle of the Word of God, you should never, ever deviate in terms of your behavior. Can I repeat that? Where there's a principle of the Word of God, you should never deviate in terms of your behavior. I mean, there's some doubtful things, and there's some things that are gray where we do not have a specific biblical word. But when we know definitely and definitively what the Bible teaches, then we need to take our stands and draw the line. And that's precisely what characterized the life of this man, Daniel. He would not compromise when it came to the absolutes of the Word of God. Daniel had this rock of confidence about him, which just allowed him to endure all of these conflicts. All the troubles that the Chaldeans and the Babylonians would throw his way, Daniel was there ready to meet him head on. And he would never, ever compromise a biblical principle. And by the way, the Chaldeans, they were really bent on brainwashing Daniel and his three friends. And all the rest of these Jewish young boys that they had taken hostage in this year, 606 B.C., they were committed to a brainwashing process, and Daniel and his three friends resisted. You see, these Babylonians, they selected these three boys as hostages to make sure that Israel would not overreact to the initial coming of Nebuchadnezzar. And these hostages were taken to kind of ensure that Israel would not rebel or revolt. But there was more than that. The Babylonians, they wanted these young men to be groomed for the use in the Babylonian court. And I'm sure that they had in mind, with these guys' Jewish heritage, they would assist them in handling Jewish affairs in future years. And they selected these three young men on the basis of three characteristics. One was their physical beauty and form. Two, their intellectual ability. And number three, their social graces. And they picked these three young men who had the greatest physical attributes, mental attributes, and social graces. They wanted to use them in Babylon, and in order to accomplish this goal, these men had to be brainwashed. And this was a very simple plot. The plot was to eliminate, in their thinking, their homeland, their heritage, their religion, their God, and their loyalties. And they attempted to do that by changing three things. Number one, they wanted to re-educate them and give them a Chaldean education. And number two, they renamed them, giving them Babylonian names, in an effort to cut them off from their past. And number three, they wanted to impose upon them the Chaldean lifestyle. Re-education, redefinition of who they were, and reorientation to the Chaldean lifestyle. Now, historians tell us that it's estimated that there was probably between 50 to 75 of these young men. And apparently, this brainwashing program had apparently worked very well, because we only know of four that drew the line and would not compromise. 14 to 15-year-old boys, Daniel and his three buddies, 14 and 15 years old. That's hardly a time in their life when a young man has the character to do what it takes to not compromise and to resist a very sophisticated brainwashing operation. And by the way, which has latent within it a tremendous promise for advancement and fame and fortune in the Babylonian court. Now, Daniel and his three friends, listen to this, they did not resist the education process, did they? Daniel and his three friends, they realized that there's probably some pretty good things, some positive things that they could gain from the Babylonian education. And they had the ability to filter out the truth through the Word of God. And Daniel and his three friends did not resist the changing of their names. I mean, you could change their names, but you couldn't change their heart. But thirdly, when it came to reorientating their lifestyle, that's when they drew the line. They would not be forced to eat the king's food. They would not partake and enter into the king's lifestyle. And the reason was clear and simple. You see, there was no biblical mandate against education. There's no biblical mandate against changing their names. But you know what? There was a clear biblical mandate against eating Chaldean food. Number one, the Jews had very strict dietary laws that the Babylonians didn't follow. But more importantly, number two, the food was offered to idols. And this was common, it was a common custom of all their feasts. And it was offered to their own pagan gods. Therefore, while they could accept the first two, they could not accept the third, because that would have been to deny the absolute statement of the law of God. And they weren't going to do that. And the point is this, we must, in our lives, draw the line where God draws the line. And God draws the line and no compromise on the basis of the absolutes of His Word. You see, if Daniel and his friends would have given in to point three, if they would have entered into the king's lifestyle, then they would have denied the Word of God. And they weren't about to compromise. May we, brothers and sisters, be like Daniel and have this same uncompromising spirit. I want you to look at the consequences of an uncompromising life. So take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Daniel chapter 8. I'm sorry, Daniel chapter 1. I did this in Sunday school, Doug. Daniel chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. Take your Bibles and follow along with me as we look at some of the consequences of an uncompromising life. And I want you to see a sequence of characteristics here. And if you're taking notes, there's seven of them, and they will all start with the letters UN. These are a sequence of characteristics of an individual who takes an uncompromising stand. And you know, when a person determines in his mind to live in an uncompromising way in a pagan society, there's going to be this sequence of characteristics that's going to be evident. So let's take a closer look at them, and you can start writing them down now. Number one is an unashamed boldness. An unashamed boldness. Verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs, that's Ashpenaz, that he might not defile himself. Now stop right there. This is fascinating. Here is an unashamed boldness, and he's only 14 years old. Daniel says, Ashpenaz, I do not wish to eat the food of the king. I do not wish to drink the king's wine because it will defile me. Now, wait a minute, Daniel. That's pretty strong stuff you're going on there. I mean, couldn't you just hem and haw a little bit? And why do you have to be so blunt? You're talking to the king. I mean, you're saying that the king's food will defile you? Well, Daniel was not about to enter into this Chaldean lifestyle. And I love that kind of boldness, don't you? I mean, Daniel didn't even hesitate one bit. He didn't say, well, you know, king, since I was a little fella, I had this special diet. He didn't try to con the king or the prince of the eunuchs. He didn't try to wiggle out of it. He didn't say, well, you know, my body just won't adjust to this. I'm so used to the food in the land where I lived. No, he didn't do that at all. We might try to do that. But not Daniel. And you know, many times when we want to get out of a situation that's a spiritual issue, I think sometimes we give a reason other than a spiritual answer just to get out of it. But not Daniel. 1 Peter 4:16 says, if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. And you know, when you suffer as a Christian, when you take abuse, when people start talking down to you, it's kind of easy to back off and to be kind of ashamed. And you're almost ashamed of being a Christian sometimes, it seems. And we kind of clam up, and there's a feeling of uneasiness on our part. We know we ought to say something, but we don't. Not with Daniel. Not with Daniel. He had an unashamed boldness about him. And I love to see Paul in the book of Acts as he's marched through a bunch of puppet rulers. There's Felix and Festus and Agrippa. And every time, without hesitation, boldly and unashamed, Paul preaches what? Jesus Christ. And he writes to Timothy and declares, Timothy, do not be ashamed of the gospel. And there's a beautiful verse. I love it. It's in Psalm 119:46. And it says this. It says, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Isn't that great? I will speak of thy testimony also before kings and I will not be ashamed. There shouldn't be anybody in this world that should intimidate you out of this message. Nobody, not even kings. Remember Moses in the Old Testament? He marched right up to Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. Let me ask you this. Do you have an unashamed boldness in your life? I mean, we often hear all the time of people who boast about their moral standards, who want to announce their great set of convictions, yet for expedience's sake they sell out. A compromise is very subtle. Listen, people say they believe in the Bible, but they stay in churches where the Bible isn't preached. People claim conviction about sin and punishment until that sin is committed by their own children. People say that they must speak out about dishonesty and corruption. And people are honest until a little dishonesty will save them a lot of money. And people know something to be definitely wrong, but if they're asked by someone they admire, someone they fear, or someone they seek a favor from, they won't say what ought to be said because they feel they might lose face. And so go the compromises. But I'll tell you, once you purpose in your heart, like Daniel, that where God's word draws an absolute line, that you're going to draw that same line, and you will unashamed and boldly stand, and you will speak his testimony before kings. You're going to find an unashamed boldness in your life, and it will be a reality. It will be a reality. And that's where God really can use you. Number two, an uncompromising life will lead to an uncommon standard. An uncommon standard. You know, people who have an uncompromising life, they just don't do it the way everyone else does. Did you ever notice that these people set their standards a cut higher? Their prayer life is always probably, it exceeds the norm. They don't live the Christian life the way we do. They're into the Word more, and they study. Now look at the end of verse 8 again. Daniel said, I don't want any portion of the king's food, and I don't want any of the wine of which the king drinks. Now go down to verse 12. It says, in fact, I'll go a step farther. Just give us veggies and water. Now wait a minute. You don't have to eat the food of the king, and you don't have to drink the king's wine. But Daniel, you could certainly eat some other food. You could certainly drink some other proper kind of wine. But Daniel responds and he says, look, I want to go to some uncommon standard. And you say, Daniel, this really isn't necessary. But people who make the kind of commitment he made always want to go to this higher plane. They just seem to choose a standard higher than everybody else. Their ministries are a cut above the rest, and they seem to have a higher level of commitment, a little more committed to a deeper study of the Word of God. And Daniel, for certain, wanted to be distinguished from the gluttons and the drunkards of Babylon. And he wanted there to be no confusion. So he not only says, I will not drink the king's wine, he says, I will not drink any wine at all, only water. Daniel set an uncommon standard. Well, then let me ask you this. Do you set an uncommon standard in your life? A really uncompromising life will not live on the edge of what is right. They're going to choose the highest and the noblest and the best, just like Daniel did. Number three, an uncompromising life is characterized by an unearthly protection. An unearthly protection. Now, this is great. Look at verse 9. Now, God. I love those two words. Did you get that? Daniel purposed in his heart in verse 8, and God moved in verse 9. If you don't get anything else, get this. God responds to this kind of commitment. God has brought Daniel into favor and compassion with the prince of the eunuchs. Now get this, it wasn't Daniel's integrity that swayed Ashpenaz. I'm sure Daniel was a nice guy. He's probably loving and very gracious, we know that. And the way Daniel talks, there's such a gentleness about him. He wasn't pushy. There was this beautiful kind of character that naturally goes with a godly man. But it wasn't any of this. The reason that things went so well was this. Now God brought Daniel into favor and compassion. You see, it was a sovereign act of God. This is important. God is controlling everything. God had a plan for Daniel. God had a purpose for Daniel. And God wanted Daniel to be in Babylon at that specific time. And he had a long-range plan for Daniel to be the agent of God. God had a plan. Now watch this. God moved into the heart of that guy Ashpenaz. And as a result, there was favor and compassion. God said in his sovereignty, he said, Ashpenaz, you're going to love Daniel. And you know what? He did. And you know, even Nebuchadnezzar, who was brilliant and powerful and fearful, couldn't do anything to sway or change the plan of God. God put into that man's heart to be kind to Daniel. Now listen, you live an uncompromising life, and you're going to enjoy an unearthly protection. Now what's important about that is this. Usually we compromise because we're afraid we're going to get into trouble, don't we? I mean, when the fact is, if we didn't compromise, God would be our protection in the midst of our troubles. But as soon as you compromise, you forfeit this unearthly protection, and you're on your own. And where do you think that's going to get you? And then one compromise leads to another, and another, and another, and another. But if I compromise, I might lose my friends. I might lose my job. So compromise and lose God's resources? Does that make sense? I mean, who do you want on your team, your boss or God? There isn't a boss in this world that could move you until God allows him. Psalm 106:46 says, He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captive. Now, this just isn't Ashpenaz. God made the whole pile of the Chaldeans and the Babylonians compassionate toward his people. And do you realize that not only can God sway a king, he can sway an entire nation? Our God's an awesome God. Let me ask you, can you sense an unearthly protection in your life? Or do you become fearful and readily compromise? Listen to this. Proverbs 16 says, just listen to this. Proverbs 16:17. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Isn't that great? When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. The heart of all men are in the hands of God. Not some men, but all men. Number four, an uncompromising life is characterized by an unhindered persistence. An unhindered persistence. Let's look at verse 10. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear the Lord the king, who has appointed you food and your drink. For if he sees your face is worse looking than the other youths who are your age, then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. In essence, the prince of the eunuchs, Ashpenaz, says, Daniel, I like you a lot. You're a great guy. You're pretty cool. I'm fond of your three friends as well. But Daniel, I'll tell you, I'm afraid of that king. I don't know. If I don't feed you the king's food, you know what's going to happen to me? You're going to come out in these 3 years, you're going to be peaked, you're going to be pale, you're going to be washed out. And the king's going to say, what's the deal here? And it's going to cost me my head. So behind the scene is lurking the ghost or the phantom of Nebuchadnezzar. And Ashpenaz liked Daniel a lot, but he wasn't about to lose his head over this situation. So things immediately went into neutral at this point. Now listen, Daniel, he doesn't get rebellious. He doesn't get testy. He doesn't get angry or mouthy. He's firm and he's gracious and he's very persistent. But as I just said, things are in neutral, aren't they? So Ashpenaz says, Daniel, I can't honor this request. I can't do it. I'm sorry. The king's going to chop off my head if I do that. Well, Daniel, in his wonderful way, just gently, without rebellion, without being pushy, he just found another alternative. Verse 11, then said Daniel to Melzar. Now, Ashpenaz was the prince of the eunuchs. And he appointed certain stewards to guard certain people. And apparently this guy Melzar had been one of the guys given to guard these men. And here is this unhindered persistence of Daniel. If he can't get any answer that he wants from Ashpenaz, he tries elsewhere. Notice, he goes to a guy who would have no personal fear of the king. Because Melzar really isn't related to the king. His boss was Ashpenaz. So listen, I want to point something out to you. An uncompromising spirit never gives up. I mean, there's some people, you know what they say? You hear them. They'll say, you know, I knew what was right to do. I tried it. I just didn't work out. And the only alternative I had was, well, I wanted to do what was right. But there was all those folks there. And they were doing it. And it was really all that I could do. And I just had to go along. No. An uncompromising spirit won't do that. Will never be rebuffed from principle when the first door is closed. Some people will use the idea of compromise only as a ploy. And when they easily exhaust a few resources, then they'll turn to the evil thing and say, I gave it my best try. I gave it my shot, my best shot. It just didn't work out. No, an uncompromising spirit never, ever gives up. And the Apostle Paul, remember him? He's on his way to Jerusalem. And every once in a while, somebody would stop him and say, Paul, do you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to get in a lot of trouble. When you get to Jerusalem, you better watch out. You're going to be in a lot of trouble. And this prophet comes along. He says, Paul, give me your belt. And he takes the belt and he ties up Paul's hands. He says, that's what's going to happen to you, Paul, when you get to Jerusalem. And you know what Paul says? He's going along and he says in Acts 20, everywhere in every city, people keep telling me I'm going to get in trouble when I reach Jerusalem. But none of these things will move me. I just want to finish my ministry. When the option closed here, he went over here. When it closed over here, he went over there. And Daniel was that way too. Just because the door was shut with Ashpenaz, he wasn't done. Because he had an unhindered persistence. And people with true character will do that. It just keeps punching and punching and punching until it finally finds a hole. Because it will not compromise. And the steward wasn't threatened by the king, so he wasn't unwilling to grant this request. Let me ask you this. Do you demonstrate in your life an unhindered persistence? If there was a trial to determine if you were a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Or would it be hidden somewhere in the closet because you were afraid to take a stand, because you took a U-turn to when a situation came up when you needed to take a stand for God? Because we're weak. You're not willing to demonstrate an unhindered persistence. Number 5, an unblemished faith. Daniel really believed that God would make this possible, didn't he? Where did he get that confidence at, Tammy? He believed that God could do it. And Daniel had faith, and he knew that he could be in any danger, and that when your heart is pure, you know that there's nothing to fear, right, George? For if God be with us, Romans 8, who shall stand against us, right? I mean, when a heart is pure, when a life is pure, then the result is confidence because of your unblemished faith. So Daniel says, I'm willing to risk my neck. Verse 12, he says, test your servant. He says to Melzar, test us. And it goes on, he says, I beseech you for 10 days, let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink, and then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenances of the other youths that eat of the king's food, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. You see the tremendous confidence here in Daniel? Daniel's faith. Daniel had confidence that God was going to honor that faith of his. He had a pure heart, and he believed God would stand true to his pure heart. Oh, if we could only be like Daniel. So Daniel says, just give us veggies. You feed them the king's food and let's see who looks the best. Daniel was willing to risk his neck. He said, I'll walk the plank and I'll take my stand that God will honor my uncompromising spirit. Now that's an unblemished faith. Do you have an unblemished faith? Do you really believe that if you live an uncompromising life, no matter who gets angry at you, no matter if you take a firm stand, no matter who gets upset with you, because you will not compromise the biblical principle, no matter how many people are offended for your, quote, lack of love, if you take your stand, God will honor it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you take your stand against sin and evil, that God can fill your life with joy and happiness? Do you believe that if you take your stand with honesty, that God's going to fill your life with all the things you need for support? If you really believe it, then you will not compromise. And you're going to take God at his word. And that's the mark of an unblemished faith. Number six, an unusual test. An unusual test. It says that, so Melzar consented unto them in this manner and tested them for 10 days. Now, let me tell you something. All commitment is tested. James 1 says the trial of your faith, doesn't it, Doug? Our faith is only proven when it's tested. And if you say that I want to live an uncompromising life, then you better be ready to believe that God's going to test you. But you know what we do sometimes? We say, boy, if I had my way, I'd tell them. I'd tell them right to their face. And you know what usually happens when we meet them face to face? You go, oh, blah, 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 blah. And all that confidence you have, all that backyard courage is gone. It just leaves. Daniel says here, I'm willing to stake my faith on God's word. And immediately came the test. All commitment is tested. And so he tested them for 10 days. And in verse 15, this is great. At the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh. And fatter there doesn't mean fat like Big Jowls or Elvis Presley fat. Fat was the sign of health. And vigor, a shining face as it were. And they looked better than all the rest of the youths who ate the king's food. In verse 16, at the end of the 10 days, what happened? Melzar took away the portion of their food and the wine they should drink and gave them vegetables for the rest of the 3 years. Now, you didn't have to prove anything to Melzar. In fact, if I read this story right, it may be that Melzar ate the king's food for the next 3 years. I don't know how else he could have pulled it off. It was a fair exchange for him. He could care less about veggies and water. I mean, it was a good deal. And so what happened? God honored his uncompromising spirit, didn't he? He had won the battle and avoided the lifestyle of the Chaldeans. Let me ask you, are you prepared in your life? Do you have faith in your testimony? Do you have faith in your testimony that will be tested? I guarantee you. If you really are, your faith and your commitment will be tested. Because the scripture clearly teaches us that. Number seven. An unmeasured blessing. An unmeasured blessing. Verse 17. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Where did this come from? As for these four youths, watch this, God gave them. God blessed their uncompromising heart, and he poured out blessings. And Richard, it's a tremendous thing, people, when we realize this, isn't it? I mean, here brings together the two wonderful truths of God, God's sovereignty and man's responsibility. Listen to this. God blessed sovereignly when they were totally committed to living an uncompromising life. From their point of view, the whole thing depended on their commitment. But from God's point of view, things were entirely in his hand. And you can't have one without the other. And God gave them all they needed to know, didn't he? He gave them wisdom. He gave them knowledge. All they needed. And beyond that, to one of the four, and here is where we separate this one person out. Daniel, it says, had understanding in all visions and dreams. And so God blessed them in knowledge and wisdom and learning. And then further, look at verse 18. At the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, that would be 3 years of training. Then the prince of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king conversed with them. And the them includes all these young men who had been deported in 606 B.C. This is the oral exam. This is the final test to see how well they've done. And they're personally examined by the king and his assistants. And it says, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel's three friends. Isn't that great? They graduated at the top of their class. And they never once defiled themselves, and they never once had compromised. You can live in a world, an uncompromising life. You can do it. Do you know that? I mean, you can live an uncompromising life in this world that is so pure and so righteous and so right and so full of character that even the world itself will have to take notice. The verdict at the end of verse 19. Therefore, they stood before the king. What does that mean? To stand before the king. It means to serve the king. The angels stand before the Lord. And in the Old Testament, those who stood before the king were waiting to take the king's message and deliver it, waiting in obedience to his command. And so it says these four stood before the king. Can you imagine this? At the age of 17 or 18 years old, being in a royal court, standing alongside the king in a foreign nation, a nation which you would never compromise a conviction. And yet God lifted you up to that very place. Later on, Daniel, without ever compromising, ruled in that area as prime minister for over 70 years. It can be done. Let God lift us up and live an uncompromising life. Stand true to the word of God. You stand bold. You preach God's truth and don't let anybody intimidate you. Don't let anybody cause you to water down the gospel. Don't let anybody cause you to water down what you know to be the absolute truth of God. You hold these convictions and you hold them with love. Hold them with gentleness and the same graciousness that Daniel did. But never compromise. If you do that, God's going to honor your character and he's going to lift you up and bless you. And that's going to set you head and shoulders above the kings of the world. What is your life like? Is it like Daniel's? Or do you readily compromise? You know, Adam compromised. Adam compromised God's law. He followed his wife's sin and lost paradise. Abraham compromised the truth. He lied about Sarah and nearly lost his wife. Esau compromised for a meal with Jacob, and he lost his birthright. Aaron compromised his convictions about idolatry and lost the privilege at the promised land. Samson compromised righteous devotion and lost his strength, his eyes, and finally his life. Israel compromised the commands of God. They lived in sin and they lost the ark. David compromised the moral standards of God. He adulterated Bathsheba, murdered Uriah, and lost his child. Solomon compromised the law of God and he lost the United Kingdom. Peter compromised his conviction about Christ and lost his joy. Ananias and Sapphira compromised their word about giving, lied to the Holy Spirit, and lost their lives. Judas compromised his supposed love for Christ for 30 pieces of silver and lost his eternal soul. And if you've fallen into a pattern of compromise, confess it as sin. Confess it as sin to the Lord. Repent. Look at Daniel as an example of an unwavering integrity. Then seek the Lord's help to live like he did. You must set your heart as Daniel did, to fear the Lord and the Lord alone. Borrow a little backbone from Daniel and live your life with integrity before God. People, devastating consequences happen in our lives when we compromise. May that not be true of us, and may God help us. Are you a Daniel? Are you a Daniel? Let's pray. Father, it is our prayer that we are a Daniel, that we will have an uncompromising spirit in our life, that we will draw the line when the Word of God clearly draws that line, that we as Christians will stand bold and stand firm, that we will not compromise, and we'll draw the same line where the Bible and where God's Word draws the line. Help us, Father, to be like Daniel, to be bold, and to never, ever compromise your Word. Father, this is our prayer. Help us to be like Daniel. In Jesus' name, amen.